This is Committee of the Whole Meeting, March 19, 2012.
Meeting order at 7:21. Roll call.
Trustee Clemens?
Present.
Trustee Newby?
Present.
Trustee Granholm?
Here.
Trustee Simoncelli?
Present.
Trustee Kirkpatrick?
Present.
Trustee Buzinski?
Okay, item 2.1 is a motion to approve the minutes of the Committee of the Whole of February 21st, 2012. Okay. And Paul Wazinski, second. Questions or comments? Roll call.
Trustee Newby?
Aye.
Trustee Sandoval?
Yes.
Trustee Simoncelli?
Aye.
Trustee Trippin?
Aye.
Trustee Wazinski?
Aye.
Trustee Clemens?
Aye.
Motion carries. Item 2.2, motion to approve the minutes of the Committee of the Whole Meeting of March 5th, 2012.
So moved.
Second. Trippin, Simoncelli. Questions or comments? Roll call.
Trustee Sandholm?
Yes.
Trustee Simoncelli?
Aye.
Trustee Trippin?
Aye.
Trustee Buzinski?
Aye.
Trustee Clemens?
Aye.
Trustee Newby?
Aye.
Okay, Human Resources and Finance.
All right, we have three items that Steve covered. One of them is the capital improvement plan, one of them is budget review, one of them is purchasing systems. And Steve and Mark's presentation covers budget review. Capital improvement plan as well? No. Okay. Do you have any preference as to whether you guys go first, second, or third? No? All right. So let's cover the capital improvement plan first then. And so we have a draft capital improvement plan. And we did it primarily for discussion. There is a schedule as to when it will be finalized, but we need to get the discussion going in terms of, you know, some of the polls of the items. Steve, I don't know if you had anything in particular that you wanted to point out about your COP.
Sure. Specifically, since the February 6th presentation, we added an interesting project at Valley Lakes. We also added three new funds, the Vehicle, Technology, and Building Replacement Funds. So any replacement items were shipped over to those funds. You'll see that in the summary sheets on page 5. Vehicle, Technology, and Building Replacement Funds. All the projects in this document have been programmed into the budget. And there was no other change beyond that, so February 16th. Nor have I received any comments yet, so there are comments tonight. That's the only changes of that time.
How is the total for this budget cycle is $2,479,967. And I don't have last year's funding. Do you recall how that compares to last year's?
So,
no. Why would we need that? It should be the last year's. I forgot to bring it.
No.
I'm going to do it.
comments. I don't think I can be really treated all in this right, but I'm going to tell you. I think it's important to note something that Steve said. I can't get the totals. He's right. The capital projects fund does not include all the capitals. It's in some other areas on the previous year. So we can get you that total for that. But what Steve mentioned, the fact that and we've been working on this for a long time, and with the help of all the departments, it's important to make a distinction between new capital and replacement, I guess is how I want to say it. You know, there's going to be things that you'll see in the future. You know, we depreciate, you know, this building depreciates. You know, there's no real value. There's value in the cost of construction. So Steve put together, as I said, with all the departments, the value of those existing items. And it's not done yet. There's still a lot that needs to be put in there, such as water infrastructure, some of the roadway, which is why we've got, you know, Ron here to help us out with that in the future. But like road resurfacing is not part of it. New capital is going to be new capital. That's going to be the additional items that currently aren't possessed by the village that there may or may not be need for. Replacement funding is intended to take all the depreciation out of all the existing and funding for that, because assuming no change, you need a building. You know, just at today's assumptions, if the building's built, we have to replace buildings. If the HVAC goes down, that's a big cost item. So that replacement funding is intended to address things like that. So it is new, but it is a distinction, and hopefully it helps clear up that capital issue of, you know, what's capital, what's true, what's wrong. So that's the whole of that. So.
I think also Steve made an effort to put, you know, so that the transfer revenue source is closer.
That is correct. I'm sorry to mention that. On a number of those pages, to make it more clear, because in the past we've had a hard time determining what the revenue reimbursement was. I included that on a number of pages that I want to turn forward to. Again, that's a work in progress. Well, we started that for the first time this year to make it a little more clear where the money's coming from and the reimbursement.
And even if you approve of this, even the project's approved, it's just a planning guide. Some of the projects in here may have been approved. So we're in the program for that funding, obviously. And those, you see, we've got 1, 2, 3 priorities for the projects, too. But, you know, again, it's a request. There's a need. This program, though, does not ensure that item is funded. You still have the budget, and you still have the justification long-term, and funding level availability with competing priorities, that could change, you know, where an item is, or if the item is funded at all. So.
Thank you.
according to budget.
Yeah, this isn't in the budget. Won't get it, but I...
It's not in the budget.
Probably in the budget, but...
Yeah, it should be in the budget. All right, so back here, we're going to have a section highlighting an overview of each fund for budget. Back in December 2011, we presented the budget assumptions to the board. For the most part, I'm just not aware that there's really no changes to those budget assumptions on revenue, depending on the expense side. So make your assumptions in front of you, yes. By the way, anybody, if you have any questions, stop me.
Can I just get you a tag?
And Mark, go ahead and speak when you speak.
Did we, there are some changes.
Yes.
In the assumptions, did you hand out the memo? Okay, so those changes are noted on there. So there are some minor changes and tweaks as new information come in, but as the budget was gone. So they're not discussed in this, but you do have those minor changes, so I pulled it up.
So the property tax money was reduced by $266,000. That revenue is on a cash basis. So the property tax is approved in December, submitted to the county in December. The actual extension will come out in 2 weeks. The cash will actually be received in the summer of 2012, or 2012-13 budget year. Tax goes out in September. Some fees, the state revenue sharing was utilized in municipal league estimates we do every year. Based on trend sales taxes, we're estimating an increase of 3.64% or about $15,000. Roland Bridge is not up there, it's going to decrease slightly. We think A-Line's going to reduce their Roland Bridge levy again. Some of the other major assumptions, I have no increased health insurance. 10% increase, dental 7.5, and vision of life is 0 due to a 2-year contract. Risk management, we determined there should be a 15% increase due to circulator cap claims right now. The Bureau Consumer Price Index at 2.5% was based on a 10-year average consumer price index. And technology was just 1.5%.
That's one of the small cases.
It was 2.
Just to point out something minor. It was 2 on the original assumption.
Other assumptions was the elimination of insect control at $47,000, the reactive co-enforcement, and the discontinuation of the tree replacement program at $36,000 on the capital fund. We're also talking about fund balances tonight, but we assume the 30% operating reserve for all the funds, I believe for most of the funds. Carryovers also were included. So not only does the capital projects are there included, but any carryovers, anything that's moved, any purchase orders out there are included in this upcoming budget. We know the money will not be spent by April 30th. We review contracts. There's one or two more I need to do, and garbage collection fee structure. For example, we talked about Greg and Sue, the lockbox, and subjects that we need to take a very close look at, and the garbage collection fee structure. Next. This is what Mark was talking about as far as the depreciation replacement funding. This is another one that changed from the original assumption. The general fund was originally at $100,000. All these numbers we arrived at, and we said, here's all the items in the replacement funds. There's the amount we came up with that should be depreciated on an annual basis. And in the forecast, we either use the particular vehicles 150% of that amount to make up for past funding we didn't do, or for like buildings, so it's only 50% because there's no capital until like 5 years from now. And technology, we use whatever the depreciation amount was. That is how we determine those amounts, and that's sort of a process that will be ongoing.
So that money is really just, it's going to be put aside.
If you look at that spend for future, if you look at last year's budget in the general fund over the 5-year financial forecast, I believe the average capital in there was $159,000. So basically we're taking, like, even out of the general fund, that amount, and just shift the money over to another fund, replacement funds. Try and make it more clear to them.
The replacement funds, we'd be very clear about that, does not equal our reserve funds.
No.
Okay, we, those are separate funds. I just want to make that clear.
That doesn't include new vehicles. Just replacement, I should say, replacement items.
I think, just expand on what you said just a little bit. I guess, thinking about it, it is a form of
reserve
funding.
But it is not our reserve fund.
It's not your rainy day fund for total loss, you know, any revenue or any income or any bank balance, for example, for the 30%, which is going to be like 3 months or so.
It's usually been on a fund-by-fund basis.
Yeah, and not all funds have an operating reserve, but the capital would not because there's no operating cost associated. There shouldn't be any operating cost. Now, we have to talk about, too, the fund balance policy that we developed the draft on that is intended to give broad guidance to the reserve funding levels. So, for example, how much is set aside for replacement, how much is set aside for capital, how much is set aside for operating reserve, and the different funds that may need different capital replacements, some have it, some don't. And then the actions taken, right, and the limits, and then actions taken to address any discrepancies that may come up along the way. So, for example, staff and board, we have issues, we need to dip in operating, we have to know we're dipping in an operating reserve, and then we have to have a plan for bringing it back. That's the suggested policy. But all those subtleties of all that hopefully will come up as we continue to...
And if I may, it's sort of going to help in this way, too. For example, our FFT fund right now has $980,000 cash balance because we've been saving for the last number of years. All of a sudden, you're going to see a huge shift, though, coming forward. And that fund balance policy, though, will help address, you know, should we move capital projects out? Is the 980 too high? Is it adequate, et cetera? And that's what we're trying to do with that policy.
Yeah, but that goes with the financial forecast, and you'll see the fund balances in, like, an MFT, for example, dip below zero in some of the out years, and that's something we have to look at and take action to address.
I want to make one more statement, too. Consider cash your fund balance here, all right? So we're looking at cash, the cash perspective, because in your enterprise fund, you obviously have assets. We're really looking at our cash reserve or cash balances. The first fund is the general fund. In your budget book, we have revenues of $6,470,000 and expenses of $6,107,000. The operating is $630,000 and capital of $76,000. That's the capital that we consider new, or I did. That's something we still need to sort of hash out in the future. So that $76,000, that piece of it's brand new versus replacement. We also have a transfer to the debt service fund of $350,000, and we squeaked by with a cash balance increase of $12,871. The other big difference in a lot of these graphs, if you recall, is that I just want to point out that the original assumptions were 2.5% of the forecast. Those were reduced down to 1.5% to make the financial forecast a bit more realistic. Certain items would increase maybe this year 3%, but there wasn't an increase for 3 years. So these graphs are much more realistic than the ones you saw in December.
If I could just point it out, if anybody can see or can't see well, this blue, all these graphs in the future are tending to give you that projection from 2007 through 2012. 12 is really a projection, and these clearly are just long-term projections in the out years up to 2018. The revenue is the blue, expenses are red, and cash balance is the green line, and it's consistent through all of these charts you can see from your board. So.
The general fund budget, I'll go through each one rather quickly. The administration budget decreased $132,000. If you recall, we received proposals for risk management. There's a savings there of $114,000. That's why our admin budget was down to $136,000.
$2,000. Police went up slightly. That's due to salary increases, normal ones, part-time positions requested. So theirs went up $10,000. Public Works went down $70,000. A big piece of that is the insect control that was removed from the budget at $47,000. And the building department decreases due to personnel changes. Proposed personnel changes. If you guys have any questions. The next one is a more fuel tax fund. There's revenues of $652,000, expenses of $975,000. 91% of the expenses in this fund are capital. And then there's a cash balance reduction of $305,000. And then you see cash here. It's below the zero mark kilometers right there. So that's one of these with the power.
14, 15, 16, and 17 is when it returns back to.
And two major projects are out there, and that's the Gillis Road and Hart Road. The Gillis Road Bridge, I'm sorry, and Hart Road.
So that's the impact of the CIP going from 2.4 million to 5.2 million in 2014.
Four items in the motor fuel fund.
Yeah. So they happen there. I know last year showed this way, too. You know, we've gotten the cash to grow, but because of pushing about Hart Road, we need to get done. But again, you have different mechanisms, you know, we keep on shifting, do we borrow from another fund? There's options out there that we have staff.
So, you know, you see the level just under 500,000 and approximately 500,000 here. Total, we're talking close to, you know, maybe $1 million over those 3 years. Now you'll see here, long term, the expenses are reducing. And that's, you know, the goal of, to get that cash balance up. If we need to move items here, you know, we talked about that, trying to develop a plan that makes sense, but, you know, that's the option for the fund balance policy where maybe we take money from the general fund in order to cover for, you know, some of those greater expenses in those years.
So. But that has an impact as well.
That is correct.
So. Yeah, you have to restore it. That's the goal. Yes, absolutely.
And there's your projects for the more fuel fund. We also will have the CBG revenues included in the more fuel fund in 2013. It was the current year that was looked for the capital projects fund, and it's for the Lakewood, it shows up there, Lakewood Terrace project. Those are your significant projects. There's also some small, I think about $80,000 worth of operating expenses in the MFC fund, like patching.
Crack ceiling.
The crack ceiling will double up this year to $50,000 for $25,000. We just get the year, so we move that kind of track.
This is one of the projects that was added. We feel that has value so we can afford reconstruction down the road. You know, Hart Road is just that block, two blocks is, what's the total, over $1 million? Three. I mean, that's 10 times the value of just trying to do a resurface. So, obviously, Ron will be helping with that from here forward, too, and great detail, I'm sure.
I think the overall project is at $2.5 million. Our show is $750,000 in the out years.
Yeah, $2.5 million. So.
Right now, it's fun. The only major revenue, property taxes coming in, and the expense of landscaping. Balance is somewhat high. Another one I'm thinking to take a look at the depreciation levels for the retention out there, the effects of the retention, to determine what's a good cash balance. We did abate the taxes 2 years in a row now for residents out in the White House. Debt service funds, this is all the funds. We have one brand new fund in 2011. I've got it on my screen, but there's revenues of $824,000 and expenses of $1.1 million fund balance, or cash is reduced by about $18,000 in the upcoming year. We still have a transfer in of $350,000 that was reduced from $375,000 the previous year. That is due to the refunding series, the 2003D refunding. utility taxes basically support all debt service. And as again, the 2011 debt service money was used to refund 2003 D to reduce the cost. We have one more payment in the 2003 series come January, one more principal payment. I don't recall when Bernardi was here, they said it wasn't worth doing that refunding. The savings wasn't there, so one more year with that one has gone. So that fund will be collapsed at the end of 2013.
Now still have a balance.
There will be a $69,000 transfer to, I believe, the 2011 debt service fund. Off the top of my head, I believe it was like $69,000. All the information from these graphs are basically in your financial forecast section. There's some really good information in that section. What has happened in the past, where we're at now, and where we're going with each fund. Here's your capital projects fund. Really, the major revenue source here is the gas utility tax. There's revenues of $320,000 and expenses of $437,000. Decrease of $130,000. Again, look in 2016, cash dips pretty low. That's again where we have to look at our fund balance policies and what we're going to do with that fund. And then the next page should be the major.
For this current budget
here. For yeah, the current budget is about 20% there. Water and sewer fund, revenues of $3.9 million, expenses of $6.1 million. There's capital of $1 million, and payroll worth of $163,000. There is a reduction of $653,000. Again, look at your financial forecast. We got a pretty decent cash balance there, but once again, caveat, we need to take a look at what is the depreciation amount, what's necessary for a good reserve. So right now, though, that fund is pretty healthy. That's back in 2010, the board approved a new rate structure that has helped out that fund.
Now there's a piece there, you know, in expenses. We got to remember that Lake County's forcing us to do some projects too. With Washington Road, it makes sense for us. We're going to be to go in and redo the water main as they redo that road. As well as some sanitary work, I believe, likely to climb. I don't think there's any major structure. We're still in the process of evaluating it. But there is, yeah, as the result of their work, we do have some increases in expenses. We also have Fairfield 134, if you could call it, Lake County SNAP program, as far as Lake County and their capital program. They're going to expand that intersection, but they don't have, you know, full funding yet. But that'll be something we'll also have to do some work with our water main. That's going to cost some money. So,
and there, this one shows the revenue we have. We reimbursed that back as well, $132,000. Nothing else unusual on the revenue side, and then on the capital side, we list out the major projects for next. Adequate. And some of those are moves or carryovers from this year, like the Wilson Road Tower cleaning is in the current budget and we will go into the next year. We have a parking lot fund that whose revenue is $105,000, expenses of $54,000. Cash increase 51. A big spike there is the long life lot parking lot. So there's a spike for the expense and there's a spike for the revenue. Right now we just programmed in bond proceeds. Now that's be one of those projects we're in where we may just have to keep on moving out. That's something we need to take a look at. But as you can tell, the cash is pretty healthy and steadily going on in this one. This is another one that we did do some replacement values for. We looked at the parking lots and what needs to be.
rebuilding, essentially resurfacing the lots, cost of it.
Triple zoning, basically.
Yeah, no, cost of what light bulbs are going to do.
And finally, this, the internal service fund is what the auditors call, we can call it replacement funds. So it's one and the same. There's revenues of $301,000. That's an operating expense in the general and water and sewer funds. We don't call technically a transfer in, it's an operating expense out of each department. I actually allocated each item, so I know the auditors will ask by department if they need it. Just so. For next year's $119,000 in expenses, which is all capital. So police vehicles, next year might get a next charge. The police vehicles that were originally in the general fund, the TSO vehicle, and all the computers are now moving to replacement funds. And the intent is that it continues to do this process on an annual basis. So part of this process, too, is to look at fund balance and the fund balance policies. You right now, in the general fund, we have 30% of our operating budget is $1,700,000. We count that. We currently don't have a fund balance policy, as Mark stated before. Our list of costs states 30% of what's used for capital. If it goes under a certain minimum, if it goes over a certain maximum.
We don't have to go through this in detail tonight. We don't have to take a look at it, provide a comment back.
We'll also go to the auditors for a quick review.
And the financial forecast in the back of the book, do show usually a 30% operating reserve for capital. They may not always play out because the policies are done recently, and those were already programmed into the financial forecast.
Is it a new audit requirement?
Yeah, as you said before, states that it's a new footnote disclosure on how we handle funding. They also came up, you'll see the audit report, different types of fund balances, like assigned, committed, unassigned. That is where the audit is just the board, but we need some type of policy in place. I think it's just a good idea to have a policy in place. So basically just for review, there's a lot of information there. Do you have any comments, concerns?
Do you think this is a pretty solid draft, or do you anticipate making any changes to it? Or?
No, I think it's pretty high. It's a pretty solid draft. Steve and I spent a lot of time discussing it, but yeah, I mean, right. Feel free to just keep it in. I think it's important for us to get the audits.
I think there's always a difference between audit, finance, and administrators.
I'm trying to have a lot of clarity there.
It's not always quick. We're worried
about it. So, Steve, typically, you're pretty conservative, and we like to have discussion about money on the end page or the little things that may pop up that you're expecting. Do you think this plan is that conservative?
Yes, but what my point is, although it may be conservative, it doesn't tell the board what to do with fund balances if they're too low or too high of them. I mean, you don't want to acknowledge that you're growing a lot of cash. What do you do with it? Can you move it? Should be moved. I understand that, but on the opposite, you have a motor fuel tax fund that's going to be negative. We seem to push that out, but I think it's possible now to address, here's what we have to do, or here's what we should do. So yeah, I'm conservative from that standpoint, and also it helps out with the replacement fund. And that's where Mark and I sort of We agree on the concept, which is from the county's standpoint versus, I know what Mark was trying to do, that's why.
How did you resolve a 30% level over any other percentage?
The GFOA, Government Finance Officers Association, states that you should have at a minimum 2 months. 30% is 3.5, or a little over 3.5. That will also depend on your revenues that come in too. For example, when I was in Schaumburg, they were economy-driven revenues. Their fund balance policy was 40% of expenditures because of that. It was a different amount. We just thought 30% was a good number of years. So that was 3.5 months. For operating, 30% is for operating expenses. So we thought that might not too good with the general, the GFOA's recommended practice.
All right, well, thank you very much. Any other questions? So will this be on the agenda then for the next committee?
Yeah, or sometime in the near future.
After the one.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
And in the process of the budget, we'll be looking at the impact of that and upon us, you know, that in conjunction with that as we go forward.
Yeah, so as a result of, and we will have to decide when we implement this, it may result in some shift in funding for us.
Or you see the underfunding and overfunding, if there is any other funding than the overfunding.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, the next item on our agenda. The Human Resources and Finance is the purchasing system. And I believe there were a in this version and the last version were some changes in the cost correctly. We implemented the $10,000 limit. And then there were some changes in items I and J under the first books. Fire section, so,
yeah. Yes, specifically based on comments from staff, we thought that a couple items might be something we need to consider too, so we're not shooting ourselves in the foot, such as time it takes to look at something may not be cost effective, so we have to travel long distance, for example, or spend a significant amount of time on a small dollar item, that would be something for department adjustment to say, you know, we don't need to do that. And on the J is a discussion of repairs and if there's a vehicle or equipment, for example, that might need some work, and the diagnosis involved, the warranty work, there may be some reasons where you would not get a lot of quotes. And that also would then be left to the department head and village administrator to say, okay, you're right, we've got warranty coverage and, you know, there's $100 additional, we'll just go with that vendor, things like that, for example. So. It's just an attempt to try and add some other criteria that we may run into along the way.
If I may add, I-2, to define the mileage cost, it's not in there. I'd recommend that if we use the IRS mileage rate, 51 cents a mile, I believe that's what it's, it just makes it easier to define it.
Any other
everybody's okay with the, you for a vote next meeting then?
Yep.
Okay, Public Works, you got truck repair authorization?
Ron, will you go over that one, Ron, please, the truck repair one? Can you go over the truck repair, please?
This is a 2008 Kingsford National truck truck, and we saw the chain of events, I think we said, with his operation the evening of March 2nd, with all the trucks that were operated in the service, to include this one. Hours into the snowplow and the operator contacted the concerns about the difficulty of the truck to move forward. And subsequent noise coming from the back of the truck. He was able to link it back to the shop. We did take a medical pickup truck that was still there at the shop. Monday morning, March 5th, I went for a test drive that did not go without 100 feet because the truck, rear day was differential. He could totally broke it without. As we had that same truck differential replaced 1 year and 2 weeks prior, we only had 1,689 miles on it. I contacted the international dealership and arranged for us to have the truck towed there and open up the situation. Which they did, and contacting the finding that there was a failure in the spider gear in the differential. And by their records, it appeared to be a repeat failure from the February 2011 differential failure. About 44, numbers just for a moment, 2007, international, same model, also had a differential failure. That was in 2010. That truck was fixed, not at the international dealership. It has continued to function. But I came away with obvious concerns and went to the international dealership the next morning and met with the service manager. Seeking an understanding of what they warranted for the thing. Normal provision by that international dealership. 1 year warranty on parts and labor for work that they did. I thought that I would have some opportunity and I will continue to pursue some consideration. Given that it was winter operations, it was their
reasonably common phenomenon in this type of truck is the driving axle back wheel, one side was in traction, the other was lifting. I got some validation from my operator. Once it rolled forward, the sudden binding of the slipping side of the rear axle had torque. It was learning a whole bunch about this whole shock loading, and it broke in spite of the they reported the international dealership did not believe there was a defect in the differential. That conversation stood going on. I could obviously ask what we could do to prevent future occurrence. Their recommendation dealt with a limited slip differential that is more durable and more forgiving. I asked for quotes for both placement and design and an upgrade. And given the warranty considerations, given that the truck was there and was disassembled, and given that I was still in some research mode, and I collaborated with one of the other transportation type agencies so far. I felt upgrade was necessary. I felt that if there is a future failure, hopefully not, in that truck, we would be better served having the international dealership do both the repair and the upgrade. And so I did offer that on March 9th for them to proceed. The consideration being potential, emphasis on potential for skeleton. And so yes, I'll take credit for the summer and winter, but still, as you have heard from me, that equipment is our lifeblood, particularly in our operation. So that's the brief background, what happened, consideration, my decision to authorize the repayment, and several conversations, obviously, with Mark, going back to the purchasing policy, having some ability when we take a cut for any piece of equipment, needing some repair, but us not knowing what that is. Some learning that can't be needing diagnosis. Where does that fit into decision making and sanctity of our purchasing? So I'm happy to then answer any questions.
We would need to ratify work at the, you know, the next board meeting, so.
So what part of the supervised purchasing policy would have been served? Do you have to revise the item J's?
Well, it seems 1500, so it wouldn't be up to the department.
Even these
that's a lot of emergency. Yeah, once that files, once the code's approved.
I think the point to point out here that's really relevant to all of us is that at this particular time, this vehicle needed this repair. There are two reasons why I think what you did was well done. One, we still didn't know, and we still don't have any problems, that we're not going to have another snow event. And my fingers crossed, and I'd like to not see it happen. But we just don't know if this will be crazy weather. And having that vehicle down during another 2 or 3 inch snow would be real difficult, and it would be a lot of trouble for our residents. So that was a good choice in that manner. Also, again, as you said, it's already up, and it's already torn apart, and it's already moving forward. Sometimes we aren't going to get our choices in what we would like to do. We sort of need to make the choices on where necessary. In this case, I think a good choice was made, and I think this is where the trust of our administrator and our department head were capable.
And the initial was that there was possibility of warranty to repair to.
That's great.
The discussion part of how those decisions are made, though, are under the J7 that discusses these are the type of things that come up. So this is a perfect example of what we run into.
Or this happens again, so we're that same course of action is fine. So we,
exactly our circumstances exactly.
When we have some policy in place, could we not expect the department head to contact the mayor and ask the mayor's authorization?
We're in the 59, yes.
We can go with 59, given the fact that we have authorized, the mayor is the only person we've authorized to achieve.
And that's the case today. I mean, well, the mayor doesn't even have the authority to ask why it has to come before the board for ratification. It's technically not authorized.
Okay. Although the mayor's authorization be routine things or emergency basis only?
If in his judgment, the item can't wait for board approval, that's the way it's ordered.
Whatever we think it's reasonable to take the time to get pricing on it, we'll do our best to do that.
Especially Gus, just want to mention that we do have a summer fest planning meeting tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Anybody interested?
from that? I know I have to, but I know my husband said that we had that.
Okay, please, drug incinerator agreement.
What you have before you is an agenda item summary requesting that we enter the intergovernmental agreement with Round Lake Beach. Recently, Round Lake Beach purchased a drug incinerator, an evidence incinerator, to discard drugs that are collected as evidence. It's getting increasingly difficult to find a place that will take our drug evidence and destroy it. We used to have an agreement with the crime lab, Northeastern Illinois Crime Lab. They were taking a disposal of it for nothing. Now, if we can find a place to do it, it costs most often between $500 and $5 per crew to destroy this type of evidence. What we're asking is that the village enter into an intergovernmental agreement from the beach for a one-time fee of $1,000. And we would have access when we need to use the machine for the light of the machine.
I think that the very critical and important one of the reasons why Long Island Beach is purchasing the incinerator because they found issues of storing all the cannabis and stuff that was turned into mold. So before we get to that point, I think it's a great idea to partner with
No, with our fee, when we were with Northeastern Illinois Crime Lab, that was part of our fee. They would take that as a prison and destroy it. Probably use it one time, 2 times a year at most. Depends. Every year it could be different. Every arrest it could be different.
But we have them generated.
No, we have them generated. About 5 years worth of evidence.
Right.
So the funding for this would be seizure funds, too. That's what actual revenue is. It's not really general fund cash dollars that would support that.
So in terms of the cost, it looks like it's a one-time fee, but is there any regard for maintenance of this incinerator? And do we have to share the cost of maintenance, or
not unless we damage it?
Would we be doing the incineration, or would they do our incineration for us?
Well, I visualize our plan would be when they're doing theirs, we do ours to keep the maintenance and the use of the machine as low as possible. It's a real simple machine. It runs with, it operates with wood. It's not, to run it is very economical. It's really a steel barbecue grill. There's really nothing to it. It's like a very elementary version of the cream tart.
Okay, we're okay moving that forward. Okay, liquor license out of operation.
Comment
call or come to the board meeting and provide suggestions. I haven't received any questions. I have Joyce, I don't know if you have any.
I have no idea.
The only other thing I wanted to add on this was the radiuses. It's kind of hard to read. We decreased it to 450. That's what the second circle is from the downtown establishments. Those that were at least interested in making comments previously. So hopefully you can see that the 450 insures coverage, at least partly for the metrolines, does fit the entire depot. So that was a question that we discussed previously.
A lot of people, it affects the bargaining, like Copa is charging building at 3 in the morning, liquor stores will always take till 3 in the morning, so they shouldn't have to pay it off at hours for the business at 3 in the morning. And we're concerned about 400 feet. So let's say New York, Bugana, and Four Corners, we're pretty much in that area. Who gets at fault if somebody gets arrested or something happens within that 450 feet? And where did that problem come from?
That's what we're working on, trying to solve those issues.
I think it should be solved.
And we're asking the proprietors to assist us by encouraging the customers to be more responsible, making sure that they're not overserved. We have people that are prone to getting in fights that are coming to your establishments. We think those are the type of customers that aren't good for the community, and that this is a method to address that, that if it has penalties that affect the establishments, that hopefully you work with us to correct those issues.
I think it's 100% that about the town, because there's nothing been allowed around lately. And it's just a kind of stop, not just for our own business, and for the people out there, there's people out there that are believing they're going to make us get damaged and hurt the rest of their life, so that they are off. So, what I'm just trying to understand, the 450 that say the supply in the region of the Uganda, for example, who's at fault for that? Who's problem is it? What was? Was just...
It could definitely affect both businesses. That's part of the police department's challenge a lot of times, to determine where the incident started. And reading through police reports, I see many times where there's no cooperation from the bartenders. Nobody sees anything, nobody heard anything. All we know is there's somebody laying out in the street hurt. So we think this is the means to encourage all of the proprietors to help out the police department in working towards not having these incidents happen anymore.
And that's the big thing with the police department. And I think it's most of the state than anybody else. They get to a fight. And we get more rights for somebody, they're off the next day. And of course, we live around the area, we can also get hurt by them. We caught a guy with lots of pick 20s at one point. Well, he came out, I knew what I'm going to show you when I get out. I was, well, I figured he was going to be there for a little while. We'll cool off. Well, the next day, he was right out there. So I mean, it's really tough to put ourselves also in to help the police, because they're off the next day. So how do we help that?
I think what you're conveying is something that, as our chief is saying, we don't have control over that, and that's what the voting public has control over when you vote in your sheriff and such in your state's attorney, for instance. That's where you get to have that dialogue. Right now, our issue is how do we maintain a safe environment? How do we help to promote our businesses so that you all survive, so that the village can survive as well? And how do we do this cohesively so that the good and the ones who aren't having problems aren't feeling the effects of the ones who are having problems with you? That's the balance we're trying to find.
Why not find the people who have problems? Filing with a certain amount of money for every fight they have. If they have more fights in time, then you take the other away. I think our old business, I think we could all step up and say, if my bus causes a problem, I'll pay that money because it is my bus. I mean, we should all take that risk. It's our business.
I think that's part of the issue. I don't think that's all of the issue. I think for the bars who are provincially having problems, we probably need to address it with re-education and work with you even tighter and harder. But again, like the mayor said, there are reports in which some of the bartenders are not being cooperative and helpful. And then you stop me the whole process and you tie hands that can't help you. And again, those issues still have adverse reactions on other bars that are not having the problem. We're trying to work with, we need to work with all of you so that you can all survive. But we also have to protect the ones who do it properly and better, and we have to protect the citizens. And we have to let the police be able to do their job. You guys have to help them do their job. That's your responsibility in all of this. And we can charge money. I'm sure the liquor commissioner can just say, oh, hey, you know, $100, $1,000, whatever. But if you're not getting the issue, if you're not getting the results that you need to get to be responsible, we're spinning our wheels. So we're trying to find something that makes the impact, gives the right sense of your commitment and your responsibility, as well as our working with you.
Yeah. I'm not a proprietor, but my name is Michael Carbone, 1990 South Arlington. My college days, I managed a couple of bars, and we were very successful in keeping our issues down. Two things I'd like to make a recommendation. If you do, to what Jose was saying, maybe you have the licenses, different classes based on maybe problems or an A, B, or C class. The more problems, the lower class license you get, and might affect you by time. But you also have stipulations by hiring a doorman. Both bars I worked at, we had doormen, it was successful. We heard last board meeting, some people did the same thing. They resolved all their issues. If you had a Class B license, you're forced to have a doorman. Maybe you hire a Round Lake police officer. Lake County office does the same thing, from my understanding. If there's certain issues with their liquor commission, they bring in, you can use their officers for the storemen and pay them for off-duty policemen. And that way, if you have bartenders that are not cooperating, maybe you'll have a police officer that will be more cooperative in explaining the story. We have the solution.
Well, we did suggest increased patrolling by the police department. The idea of having police presence wasn't to get a favorable response either, so.
I think do it as an off-duty officer, where they might want to take up a little extra moonlight hours, get a little extra money on the weekend. It's just another source. Even when I worked in the bars, they did that on the chain a lot in the summers. Mm-hmm. You can hire Lake County officers, most of the bars will do that.
Mayor, just to clarify, that is a condition the liquor commissioner could impose on a licensee under the proposed.
I'm Scott Coyne from Four Coins. I think the Class A, B license is a fair analogy of four bars that are having problems aren't having problems. As far as the $100, I received my liquor license application today. I don't know if everybody did, but it did say Class A liquor license, and it was $1,200, which it was last year. As far as charging $1,200 or $1,300 for an A, B, or C license, you can charge $1,200 for a B license or a C license. There shouldn't be any differentiation. The difference should be in the license that's received. You're going to pay $1,200 for your liquor license, I believe, and whether you receive an A, B, or a C license, that's just the license you received for your $1,200. As far as administrative fee, I don't think it takes any longer to process an A, B, or
C license for the additional hour, late hour.
We already have the late hour. We lost the late hour. And now we're going to be charged another $100 to keep what we already had at one point. We're actually still at this point. So that's why I'm saying that. If you have an A, B, or C license, they should all be the same price. It's what you're qualified to receive is what I think it should be.
And that part has stayed the same, the late hour license. That change was made currently as our ordinance stands
right
to reduce it to 2 o'clock and we're considering the addition of the late hour license. And in the proposal that was moved forward was with the fee of an additional $100 for administrative costs. We've had some discussion from board members already that they think that fee may be excessive.
So as it stands right now, the clarification that class A license and will only allow, you know, if you apply and you get the $100, it will only allow them after May 1st, right? So May 1st.
The late hour license, if passed, and then if granted to the applicant, it would allow somebody to pay for an extra hour on Saturday and Sunday. Well, technically Saturday.
What was our last meeting called?
A late hour license.
Oh, it'll be an A with a quotation.
It'll be a separate license, okay. But a late hour license.
Is there any other comments? The only thing I've heard from the board is the concern over the administrative fee. Yes. Everybody else is okay with the concept?
It's more the administrative fee for those who haven't done anything to deserve that. An extra fee.
We're still going to have the Liquor Commission reviewing the application for the late hour fee. So, the board, I don't know if you want to set for a fee or no fee, whatever pleasure it is of the board.
I think the important thing is the criteria that surrounds the late hour license and the ability to that and make a decision based on performance and history of the potential licensee. So I don't think we're trying to make money out of this administrator mentioned where it's just kind of cover costs, but I don't think it's a huge cost, so I would like to wait and see as a member of the
commission. So we're waiving the fee for the businesses that aren't established?
No, for one. This starting May 1 is like a new day. So we have to stop talking about who had issues and who didn't. Everybody who has an A or B has a 2 o'clock license. Okay. If the person wants to apply for a late hour license, the question is whether there's a fee for that or not. So that can almost look like $1,200 for his A.
Can we check on the fee for the loss of the license?
That would be a fine, and the commissioner can do that during the
enforcement. I guess I wait time to get it versus, I agree. And we've always had that system. We've always had the ability. And I don't understand why we don't use that versus an administrative fee that applies to all and punishes all. That's how I see it.
Would it be possible to pay a $100 fee if you are approved that you would get your money back? If you're not approved, then you pay $100 and you are qualified to get it?
You want to be anywhere the board like that.
Yeah.
excess licenses approved, so with this being a new license, we would have to approve the number that is recommended by the liquor commission.
I need to make sure I understand that the liquor commission is only an advisory board, and then you make the final say, correct?
Yes.
As a commissioner.
And the late hour licenses would not exceed the number of licenses for a regular license. So everybody's okay with the late hour license application? Final decision on FEMA fees to be refunded if approved.
I don't like that. The FEMA bills are worried that it's not going to happen, aren't going to apply. You're going to think twice if with it and then $100 minimum for approval, and they know.
Is that Mr. Mayor?
Absolutely. All right. Since Chicago's gotten back now?
Yes, sir. Chicago already implemented and tries to get $2 million back. This is recent state legislation. This is as a result of recent state legislation that allows municipalities to enter an agreement with the comptroller to get revenues that are owed the village remitted from the comptroller from funds that individuals may have with the state, for example, the state income tax account. So you have to hear that program and especially how it works with the local debt recovery. It's pretty simple. It would be, there's no cost to the village or us, but a resident should have to pay $15. If it's found that they, in fact, do owe the debt, and it is, in fact, then sent to, in our case, us.
It would be for things such as water bills, any ticket fine revenue that may be outstanding. There is due process that allows for the state to confirm, and then the individual or business member owes the debt to appeal the request, and if it's in fact granted, then there's no debt collection and nothing remitted to us. We would be required to meet with state officials to run through the testing and the program and everything else. But before we do that, we just like a consensus of whether we should proceed in that manner or not. We would have to enter into the intergovernmental agreement with the state once we got to the point where we know the system works. And that is a task that I believe, yes, to get it in there. That would be what we would need, what the board would need to consider, and in fact authorize if we chose to move forward. So that's it in a nutshell. You guys can answer any questions.
You're saying that our outstanding debts are currently $20,000. Approximately how many debtors would that be?
Well,
the minimum that you could really go after. I mean, you know.
Well, that also goes back to inception. We started doing it last year or two. We're not high. This goes back, I believe, all the way to 2005 or 6. So I think there's a lot out there. So someone moves out, and then someone else moves in and takes town. There could be quite a few. You know, it sounds like it's before many times. We would just put an app code in there, attempting to move in and out, and I collect a bit better procedures. I can't give you, basically, I can't give you the number of transactions that would be right now, like you know.
We're talking handful, we're talking amount, we're talking
huge amount. Okay, so it's much more customer set. Won't be just a couple of handfuls. But it's easy, if I can just pump it out, and they're not asking for a tape, they're asking for a file, they get the phone to show itself, I'm done. That's what we did. We did my flexible report. Now I found a lot of customers on utility bills. It doesn't matter how old they are. And I do, you know, 15,000 like that. So it's not a tedious process on my end.
There's no fee for us to sign up for this. We just have to enact the intergovernmental agreement. So it's something that if we have an opportunity to apply it, it could be a benefit. If we decide it's not, no prospect.
And just back to yours, there is, I didn't see anywhere when I read in those days, when, in other words, could it be 10 years, could it be 15, I don't know, there's nothing in here stating that. It just says it could be.
We would have to find out that that's part of the board coordination meeting, you know, what. There still would be some staff time, we don't know what that's going to entail, you know.
I'm concerned that some of our water debts are, you know, that I've seen anyway, you know, talking some on cent value. And why would you?
We wouldn't send some like
okay. Yeah. There is a minimum.
No, not for this.
We remember we implemented the policy from the water fund on the collections and when it becomes uncollectible. If you recall those reports that quarterly come out. We had a big one. You know, uncollectible is current resident, you know, as several, we used to have current resident listed.
Right.
But no, those, when you get to that level, those are out.
And so where's it going after the meeting?
Just, yes. Okay. Yeah, the 5 cents, that's a dollar, that's a penalty. Someone pay their bill a day later, 2 days late, that's left town, and the late payment. So they pay it short, or came in late. That's $200 or $100 or something like that. Maybe there's a threshold. I wouldn't say you're either. It's not right.
That's what we have to get to. But we would propose going after the, you know, sense anyway. There'd be more staff time and everything to get, you know, those bright up numbers. It makes a lot of impact, for example, on liens, you know, that we issue for grass cutting. If we were to do that, that's, you know, several hundred dollars associated with those. So, we might get lucky with some of those, but state or the city of Chicago got $2 million as soon as they turn out the sketch. Yeah, we're past that.
So this is back with the banks that are holding all these repos and not doing the draft cutting?
If they have a debt to the village for fees or fines, then yes, it could impact them as if they're listed as the owner.
Is there any other?
Well, this staff time, maybe they still have full strength, but, you know, it could potentially be an impact on residents. I think it's most people that have been coming out of the village, though, so that's...
It's only the state of Illinois, as I said, all of...
That's correct, state of Illinois.
So do you want, like, a third of mine to get any money, since it's the state, and then your county, and then the...
Yeah, I don't know, it's better than nothing.
I agree, some of these votes better than...
They have anything, yeah, I don't know.
We can't see our hat on any of them, okay? Still, if you do the vote, then...
Everybody's okay with the report?
Yeah.
Last item is the intent to appoint Dave White and Michael Carbone to the Liquor Commission. I'd like to do that at the next meeting. Suggested new topics? Sure.
I know there have been some comments made about being in a hip pocket. If I vote in favor of Dave White, I'm going to mind being in Dave White's hip pocket, because he's still in my campaign. How do you feel about that, Dave?
You think you need my back pocket, you're a family?
I'm asking you, you made that statement before, would I be considered in your hip pocket if I vote in favor of your commission?
You're being smart.
No, I'm not, Dave. Something you stated, and I want to clear.
Well, you asked it, and I told you. If you don't want me out of commission, that's fine with me. I don't care.
Well, I think the point is, we did donate to all, every one of our community board members' campaigns, so. Point was made at a previous meeting that we should all recuse ourselves in that type of situation. So now we're in a tough spot, because we're voting on somebody that donated everyone on board.
It'd be nice if I could hear what you were saying.
So I said we're in kind of a tough spot, because the accusation was made that because of the donations that were made to the board by anybody that's made a donation, and you've made donations to the campaigns of everybody on this board, and now we're voting on your appointments to a committee, and what is that going to look like?
I think what the big difference is here is that there are certain board members that were arguing strongly to give work to somebody whose prices were extremely high. First of all, I'm not asking anybody for any work. I didn't even know about this until tonight when I got here. Okay? So I'm not asking anybody to put me on a board. I don't care. All I want you guys to do is be careful with my money. Because my tax money is in this village.
Well, actually, some of it's back in your pocket because of the...
I'm sorry?
Some of it's back in your pocket now because of the tax levy reduction that you're voting on.
Okay, and I appreciate that. The only thing that we myself and my wife argued against was paying more money for work that we can get done for less. And get the same quality work. That's the only thing.
In the process of that, the accusation was made that because donations have been made, we are not corrupt.
That's not what you said. That's not what I said.
That's the inference that many of us took
from it. I'm sorry?
That is the inference many of us took from it. And both you and Rose were very vehement about that. In addition, you shot us with a lot of character assault. And from just an integrity point of view, you know, I wonder if you could treat us this way for having our opinions, how would you treat the public for having their opinions and their mistakes? I'm wondering how that's going to parlay in that perspective.
Well, if somebody comes in and wants to pay me for a license, they're out of luck. I don't know what you want here, okay? Unless you're just trying to beat up on me because I gave you my opinion. Is that what it is?
Let me make this very clear, Dave.
You have your say. Let me say mine.
If a citizen comes in and say, as they're saying here, like they're supposed to be able to have, you get to beat up on us? Is that it?
You beat up on this entire board.
I didn't beat up on you. We gave you our opinion. If the shoe fits, wear it.
The shoe doesn't fit, so I'm not wearing it. But you make some very nasty remarks and insinuations.
What did I make any nasty remarks? I made two remarks to you and to Scott, okay?
If we aren't allowed to have our opinion as you are having yours, and now we're having this exchange because you can't allow me to still have my opinion, and I wonder how that's going to relate to the people that we do business with here on board. That's my issue. That's my only issue.
Okay.
I don't have any animosity or anything. I'm just saying, I'm worried about that commitment from you.
Then don't vote for me. I don't care. In fact, if you want, I'll withdraw. I didn't even put in for it. So how do I withdraw for something I didn't ask for? Jim, did I ask to be put on this board?
I asked if you were willing to serve.
I told you that I would do whatever you want me to do. And if this is the case...
But then you came to me and asked me to be put on the liquor commission or the zoning board.
I never came and asked you for that.
Yes, you did.
I said I would like to be on the zoning board.
Well, therefore,
that's
I have filed your application for you.
And I never asked you to put me on the board. I said I would be interested in going on it. In fact, you guys have a website that says that you have to apply for it. I never filled out anything on there. You did.
I never asked for it. This is it. That's why I filled it out. To get the ball rolling.
All right. Jim, forget it.
Here
all right.
Computation here. We withdraw Dave's name.
I'm sorry?
We'll withdraw your name from consideration.
I can't.
We'll withdraw your name from consideration.
That's fine.
You're okay.
That's fine with me.
Okay. I still propose to appoint Michael Carbone at the next meeting. He told me that he would accept it in the past. Is that still okay? Suggest a new topic.
We're going to be ready to maybe move forward with some of the ideas for
we're going to be again next week.
So we won't be doing that
again. So we get
through
budget and
discussion
for that
first.
Please.
Thank you. So we just on the topic of parks and parks as far as helping through that. What's that?
So I have asked staff and our attorney to tell us how we can overcome any concerns and what people can be allowed to do and what they can't, so that we can try to get moving forward with the cleanup.
Because spring is here and we'd like to get it done by the February. Please draw the tree.
Waiver is open.
Just speak up, I can't hear
you. Sorry, the beer is there.
Paul is there.
I asked the mayor if we were going to do the waiver idea that we talked about. He said yes. Is that what you're referring to?
I wasn't in the loop on that, so I'm not sure.
I suggested as a way to
if there's volunteers, yeah, we'll take it to the we need a waiver from our volunteers.
Also, in the past, and now that Ron is with us, we talked about possibly doing some sort of effort to get the swap of recycling, better fitted into the village. Could we perhaps look at some ideas to update the web and some literature or some sort of education out to the public about recycling and how we can improve that?
Recycling awareness promotion.
Right.
We're just waiting for the education material that we're supposed to be distributed from Swaco. we haven't received anything yet. Do you know if there's...
We have a meeting this Thursday, and actually I asked Ron if he wanted to come with me to that meeting, if that would be okay, so that he can, you know, kind of help, because I know it's a little hard to go through his office as well, so David had always been involved with it, so I'm assuming. And he has graciously said he'd like to do that. So maybe we will be able to have something to help him with.
Yes.
Cool. The plan.
Yes. Okay, motion to adjourn.
So long.
Favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.